From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of a series which aired long after the so-called end of the golden age of radio, an outstanding series from Canada from the early 1980s called Nightfall. This series was also rebroadcast back in the day on many national public radio stations here in the U.S. This was an outstanding thriller anthology series, and we have for you program number 28 in the series, which originally aired on CBC Radio on January 9th of 1981. And I'd like to dedicate this particular program to radio geeks everywhere, particularly shortwave DXers. The play is titled A Shortwave Goodbye.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight, we have an especially dyspeptic program for you. It deals with failures in human communication, and its resolution is more than merely irrevocable. The play, by George R. Robertson, is called A Short Wave Goodbye.
Fantastic! Oh, Harvey Beasley, you're a genius. It's incredible. The pento grid link was the key.
Harvey!
Yeah, I'm up here.
I know where you are. Do you know what time it is?
Oh, I'm picking up the most amazing signals, Harriet. That new pento that...
Harvey, I'm going out. I need
some
money.
You wouldn't believe the signals.
I'm broke.
Listen. This is Antarctica. Hey? It's clear as a bell.
Will you shut that stupid machine off?
This means everything to me and not a damn thing to you. I just can't fathom why you...
Short wave's your problem, Harvey, not mine. Now, once more, I need cab fare.
But listen, can you hear that? It's the other end of the world.
Shut it off.
Look, this is my big day.
Oh, where's that blasted switch?
I brought in the other end of the world.
And what about this end? Your big discovery going to make any money?
I'm very proud of what I've done, Harriet. You should be, too.
Is there any future in it?
Well, it's taken so long. All scientists, inventors need time
What's
before they...
What's it worth?
Is dinner ready?
I called you 5 times.
Yeah, I guess, didn't hear you.
All you ever hear is your stupid shortwave radio. Other men have hobbies. You have a terminal disease.
Why did you bother to come up here, Harriet?
It's my volunteer night. Sick kids hospital.
Well, I can give you 5, I guess.
The last of the big time spenders.
It's not another new dress.
Well, you can go around looking like welfare if you want, but not me.
How did you pay for it?
Master charge.
Harriet, I can't cover what you've charged already. They threatened to garnish you my salary. I'll be fired.
Fired? Who'd notice?
They'd notice.
You haven't got the ambition of a mole.
Yeah, what do you think my shortwave experiments are all about?
Bringing in Greenland.
Yeah, well, stick around. I might surprise you.
27 years ago, I married a poor bookkeeper with big dreams. Now, what have I got? A poor bookkeeper, period.
Who knows how to live within his means?
Don't get smart with me, Harvey. I could have you thrown out of this house.
You could do what?
I talked to a lawyer last week. She told me there'd be no problem.
Damn it, this is my house. Belonged to my father.
Come out of the dark ages, Harvey. I know my rights.
Yes, so look who's liberated.
And if you don't watch your step, I'll liberate you from half your savings, half your pension, and all of your house. I've spent the best years of my life with you.
Randy, old
sow.
I'll do it sooner or later. Well, this poor bookkeeper has one big dream left. Putting his hands around your throat. Oh, if only there was a way to kill you without getting caught.
What are you doing with that hammer?
I've squandered my life
Harriet,
on you.
Harriet, put that down.
You and your damn shortwave disease.
Don't throw it. Harriet! My radio. Do you know how much blood and sweat went into that? No, you selfish slob. It means nothing.
I wish I'd aimed it at your skull.
Harriet, just how dumb do you think I am? Volunteer work at Sick Kids. You're off to meet your retread man of the world again. Big romantic stuff. Sagging matron beds, overweight widower. Let's see how much damage you've done. Oh, geez, you bent the new crossover. God knows what else is broken inside. I'll have to start all over. No, wait a minute. Maybe if I rotate the crossover. It hurts.
Acceptance of a new project which Mayor Farnham unveiled today.
Farnham?
Expropriation of the lakefront warehouses will begin later this month, with construction to start early next year.
Well, how can I be getting local news on the show? June 16th. The frequency and amplitude are totally incompatible. You can't bend the laws of physics. Something must really be broken. Tuesday? He said Tuesday the 16th. How can the... He said Tuesday. Harriet! Harriet, what day is it?
Don't leave your dishes in the sink, Harvey.
Harriet, wait. What day is today?
Oh, for God's sake, it's Monday.
Thank you.
Monday the 15th.
Harvey, get your head examined.
It is Monday the 15th. I must be hearing things.
In the Thursday feature at Woodbine today, the winner was...
Tomorrow's Races.
...in
1780. 1780? Is that for a $2 bet? I knew more about racing. It's unbelievable. It's Wednesday, but I'm hearing Thursday. There must be a scientific explanation. Why can't I see it?
Hey, Mark Goldie.
Oh, go away.
You dead in there?
What do you want, Philip?
What kind of welcome is that for a neighbor with an extra ticket for tomorrow's game?
Yeah, no, sorry. I've got a lot of work to do.
You've been up here all week. Never out of this garret.
Look, I'm busy.
How much fun can a guy have listening to the radio?
You'd be surprised.
Even Einstein took a night off.
Einstein?
Yankees are playing. I made $160 last time they were in town.
Einstein.
All a lot easier than selling electrical supplies.
The theory of relativity. Einstein said time bends back on itself.
Terrific, Harvey. What do you say?
On another plane, this moment in time has already passed. Without the warp... The future is today. The bend Harriet made in my crossover might precisely counterbalance the bend in the time warp.
Hey, Harvey, I'm talking to you.
Leave me alone, Philip. I have to think.
Well, pardon me.
By sheer accident. But why not? The future is today.
Good night, Philip.
Hot-bellied man of the world.
Hello?
Philip? Harvey.
Harvey? What's the matter?
Would you mind giving me the number of your bookmaker?
I can't give out his name. What the hell am I doing? Security, you know.
Come on, Philip. What is this?
I can place bets for you, though, Harv.
Well, thanks, but I keep money cards close to my chest.
Yeah, well, I can have the guy call you.
Fine,
but
thanks.
I don't get it, Harvey. You're not a betting man.
I am now, Philip. You bet I am. Now.
A spokesman for the Prime Minister's office said today, on the local scene, Frank Marcucci, reputed underworld figure, was gunned down late this afternoon outside his Queen Street Tavern. Police say they have no leads.
That's it. That's the chance. If I know the future, maybe I can change it. Undo what's already happened, or what's about to happen.
Don't call me Harvey. Call me God. Marcucci, yeah, here. Marcucci's Tavern. He's warned. He should be able to escape. Lord, the possibilities this opens up for old plod-along Harvey.
All right, what the hell's going on?
Dad, what the hell do you mean, breaking in here?
I'm trying to place a bet with Rooney tonight. You know what he told me? He's cut me off.
Why?
Because you've taken him for $23,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's beginner's luck, fella.
$23,000, that's impossible.
Not according to Rooney.
I want to know how you did it. Huh? I mean... Come on, Harvey. We're pals, huh?
Look, I've got an important call to make.
But I...
Alone.
Don't turn that radio on. I've got a headache.
I have to hear the news.
Don't you get enough racket on that stupid set upstairs?
The minister's office says today. On the local scene, Frank Marcucci, reputed
news is useless anyway.
You
can't do anything about it.
This afternoon outside
Shut
his
up,
Queen
Harriet.
Street Tavern. Police say
I
they
have said
no
I have a headache. How dare you tell me to shut up? Isn't
it
that I
anyway.
Have to listen to that stupid radio
Marcucci
upstairs?
Didn't believe
to turn
me.
The one on in the kitchen.
Maybe the future can't be changed, just used as is. I'm glad I'm not important enough to make the news. Well, the first priority is dollars and cents. And then, Harriet, it's your turn.
Don't worry about it, Phil. You're just tired. Now you're working too hard.
Well, no, I'm not worried about that.
Oh, good.
I want to know how he's doing it.
Who? Doing what?
You mean he hasn't told you?
Harvey? All I want to know is how come he quit his job.
You're his wife, for God's sake.
How does he think we're going to survive?
What kind of a husband is he, anyway? Not letting you know.
He's not a man. He's a mole.
Damn lucky mole.
Phil, baby, what are you going on about?
Look, if anyone can find out, Harriet, you can, you know.
I haven't the faintest idea what he's doing or how he's doing
it. Listen, now listen, if we play our cards right... You and I'll have a very rich future.
Wonderful, Phil. But right now, we've got some unfinished business.
And on the Toronto Stock Exchange, Can North Petroleum led all gainers today as news of a Beaufort Sea discovery sparked an 11-point rise.
Can North Pete. Ah, yeah. 27 7/8. So, 1,000 shares would be...
Yes?
I brought you a cup of tea.
Oh?
Earl Grey. Your favorite.
Yeah, thank you, but I don't really...
Well, we've been fighting so much lately. I've said some awful things I didn't mean.
I don't see
I'm
how...
I'm trying to make up, Harvey.
Why?
Because there are no chocolate cookies to go with the tea.
Harriet, what is this tea ceremony all about?
We're both still pretty young, Harvey. Maybe we could start all over. I could give up Sick Children's Hospital, if you know what I mean. Maybe we could take a trip.
A trip? On master charge?
It's not too late for us, Harvey.
You mean this poor bookkeeper's getting respectable?
Harvey, don't make me feel even worse.
I'm awfully sorry, Harriet.
We've got to think of the future.
Oh, I spend a lot of time thinking about the future, Harriet. Mine
and yours.
That son of a bitch!
I wanted to kill him, making me grovel like a...
Maybe that's the only way.
What do you mean?
Would you miss him?
You're not planning to...
It's the only crack I'll ever have at that kind of money.
But, Phil, that's crazy.
He's not going to cheat me out of it.
Phil, I'm still his wife.
And we won't be worth a red cent till you're his widow.
There must be a perfect way, a foolproof way to get rid of you. I can't just take the money and run, Harriet. You'd still be entitled to half. Besides, skipping out wouldn't be playing the game, would it? Maybe I can find something just right for the two of you. What if I readjust the setting?
Being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Tragedy of a different sort. Tragedy with a ray of hope occurred last night in suburban Brentwood when Harvey John Beasley was...
God. Me. How? When? What day am I hearing? Come on, damn it. Cross over back.
September 19th.
Tomorrow.
Stay tuned now for more music
God. God, I don't want to die. Maybe I changed the setting. Maybe it wasn't tomorrow. Yeah, I changed the setting. Yeah, it could be 20 years from now. There's no way to tell. How do I protect myself? From a death with no date. Home, anyway. Should be safe here. Oh, my God. It's fused to the cabinet. If I touched that cell, I'd have been fried. But what could short it out like that? No, it's not possible. Unless someone... Of course... Philip. He'd know how. The two of them are after my money. But I did it. I changed the future. I'm still alive. Though you won't be much longer, Harriet. The game for keeps begins in earnest.
And here is the evening news.
I could hear people screaming inside.
Are you out of your mind coming here in broad daylight?
I had to tell someone. Living with him since we tried to... I can't stand
it. Okay, take it easy. Why were you going to a paint store of all places?
For Harvey. He insisted. Just so thankful I was late.
What do you mean late? To pick up a can of paint?
He said the owner was expecting me at 4:30 sharp.
Which is when the store went up in flames, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this grimy little chase, the next move is mine.
That's twice you've missed me. Though the electrical trick got closer than that tripwire with the two steps taken out of the cellar stairs. Come on, let's get professional, Harriet. Still, what if I haven't cheated the Grim Reaper? Death with no date.
What if you two should get lucky? It's possible, isn't it? I think I'd like to leave a monument of some kind. Of course, a monument to the future. I should have the number here. Oh, Harriet, I know you'll appreciate this. That is, if you're still around.
Sick Children's Hospital.
I'd like to speak to the administrator, please.
Phil, let's stop and think about this.
We can't stop now. He knows we did it.
And he knows we'll try again. He'll be waiting.
Well, it's him or us. Take your pick.
Phil.
Yeah?
You won't leave me after it's over.
Oh, I won't leave you.
Sure?
Word of honor.
Oh, Phil, that makes me feel so much better.
Better or worse, we're a pair. No, a trio. You and me and Harvey's money.
Running out. Plots are bound to get brutal.
A spokesman for the UN confirmed today that UNICEF and the World Health Organization will coordinate relief efforts.
No date.
Tragedy struck on Lake Ontario today when a small excursion boat belonging to Southern Boat Tours exploded about 5 miles from Toronto Harbor. There were no survivors.
No
explanation for the blast has been given. And
that's
names
perfect.
Of the dead are being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Tragedy of a different sort. Tragedy with a ray of hope occurred last night.
All went down. All of them.
Southern Boat Tours.
Oh, yes, I'd like to reserve 3 seats on tomorrow's Lake Ontario cruise. The name is Harvey Beasley.
Where are you going?
I have to pick something up.
At this hour?
Yeah, you'll never guess, Harriet. Our luck is changing.
What?
I finally won something.
No kidding.
Yeah, I bought a travel draw and won some tickets for the lake excursion tomorrow.
Lake excursion?
Well, you always wanted to take that cruise, so...
Harvey, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
I don't have time.
I can't go on like this. I want to start over.
Harriet, I've got less than an hour.
We've got some security now and some money for the future.
Oh? Well, how do you know that?
All that matters is...
that we catch that boat tomorrow.
We do need more time together.
Invite Philip.
Philip?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, tell him it's about a juicy business proposition. One he can really sink himself into.
All right, Harvey. That's the way you want it. We'll go on your little cruise. But you won't be coming back. Still can't believe it.
It's all over but the shouting.
He's gone, Phil. He's actually dead.
Yeah, that's damn nice of him, too, saving us the trouble.
If only we'd get our hands on the money.
Oh, don't worry, it has to turn up.
What a great feeling. No more worries.
I'm just afraid I'll never find out his secret.
Seems he took it with him.
But he must have been tapped into the future, huh?
If he had been, he wouldn't have run in front of that car. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been so eager to go on that boat cruise. Hey, hold it. Why was he so anxious for me to go along? On a boat that was going to blow up.
Oh, don't talk about it.
And what about the paint store fire?
Stop it. Nobody can see into the future.
You saw his stock portfolio up in the attic. He bought into everything at exactly the right time.
And now it's all mine. After all these years, the mole finally paid off.
All ours, you mean, huh?
Oh, yeah. You want a sandwich?
No, I want to hear what's happening in this very rich world of ours.
No reason for the blast has been given, and the names of the dead are
Shut
being
that
withheld
thing off.
Pending notification.
Radios remind me of Harvey.
Tragedy of Radio. A different sort. Tragedy with a ray of hope occurred last night in suburban Brentwood when Harvey John Beasley was struck and killed by a
car. Well, at least he made the news.
In front of his house. This morning, Donald Anderson, administrator of Sick Children's Hospital, announced that Mr. Beasley had bequeathed his entire estate of $348,000 to equip a new operating room in what will be now known as the Harvey Beasley Wing.
What? That dirty, black, miserable mole!
$348,000!
It's all gone! He left me nothing! Nothing! You're all I've got!
Yeah, now, wait a second, Harriet.
Oh, yes, you did leave me something, Harvey. Up in your attic.
Harriet? What are you... The radio. Harriet, wait!
Damn shortwave disease.
Wait, Harriet. The radio's got to be the answer.
Let go of me.
Give me that hammer.
Get away from me.
She's going crazy.
Let me have that radio.
Oh,
that's Harvey's cancer, that short wave.
Harriet,
that radio
Harriet,
warped him.
So give the United Way.
Disease out of you, Harvey.
And now, here is the news for Thursday, September 20th.
Did you hear that?
I'll never hear this bloody radio again. No future. He gave away my future.
That announcer. He said Thursday, the 20th. That's tomorrow.
Harvey's disease robbed me my future.
That was it?
There's no future.
That was future. It, you fat, stupid bitch.
No future.
Of course it's not future. God, lying on the floor.
No,
look at it, in pieces.
He stole my future. No future. He stole my future. He stole my future.
Just heard A Shortwave Goodbye by George R. Robertson. Featured tonight were Arch McDonald as Harvey, Maxine Miller as Harriet, and Bud Knapp as Philip, with John Stocker as the newscaster, and Elva Mae Hoover played the receptionists. Our recording engineers are Ray Falsick and John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. Our story editor is Earl Toppings, with the production assistance of Nina Callahan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell. And now, here's a final word from your host.
Hello again. Next week's Nightfall features a new adaptation of a story that has always had a special place in my heart.
Whenever his pale blue eye fell on me, my blood ran cold. And so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever. It was an evil eye, but Weatherby was very kind to me. No one had been this kind. It was too much to bear. You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing. But you should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work.
Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart, adapted for radio by Len Peterson and starring Richard Monette. Next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful of the edge.
Ah!
A Shortwave Goodbye, program 28 in the outstanding Canadian radio series Nightfall, as originally broadcast by the CBC on January 9th of 1981. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, where we present an hour of sounds from radio's golden age and occasionally some more contemporary radio drama. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch with the radio theater, you can do so by email. Our address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. That's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our blog and website for much more info about the program. From there, you can view full program playlists, and you can also stream complete episodes in the series at your convenience. All of that is available for you at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or streaming audio for this program, please look for Upstate Radio Theater show number 1920. We'll conclude the hour with an episode of a series from the Golden Age of Radio and something more lighthearted after that episode of Nightfall, as we have an episode of The Mel Blanc Show, hosted by, or starring rather, none other than voice actor extraordinaire Mel Blanc. He, of course, will always be best remembered for his decades-long contribution to the world of cartoons, not just for Warner Brothers, but for other outfits as well, including Hanna-Barbera. And, of course, he made numerous other appearances on various radio comedy shows during radio's golden age, most notably frequently appearing on the Jack Benny program. But in the late 1940s, Mel starred in his own radio series, in which he owned Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. This broadcast, program 39 in the series, aired on CBS on June 3rd of 1947, Renting a Summer Cottage.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Mel Blanc Show, written by Mack Benhoff with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you The Mel Blanc Show, with Mel playing his new character, Zuki.
Hello, everybody.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Want teeth that sparkle and dazzle, a breath that's fresh and sweet? Then try Colgate Tooth Powder, for the new all-purpose Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your teeth and sweetens your breath. Yes, this new all-purpose tooth powder produces an amazingly rich active foam that's marvelously effective. Every time you brush your teeth with this new all-purpose Colgate Tooth Powder, your whole mouth feels clean, sweet, fresh. Your teeth regain their natural sparkle. It's been proved in 7 cases out of 10 that Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath. And as for cleaning, you can depend on Colgate Tooth Powder revealing the natural brilliance of your teeth. Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder, the new all-purpose tooth powder, does everything you can expect or ask of a dentifrice. Try Colgate Tooth Powder today for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Well, here it is, the month of June. For those who are single, it's the month for marriage. For those who are married and know better, it's the month for vacation. Anyway, in Mel Blanc's little town, everyone is looking through travel folders, and we hear Shirley Davis saying to her boyfriend,
"Gee, the places in this travel folder are beautiful, Roy."
Shirley, I'll go right down to the travel agency and arrange a trip for us.
And Mary Smendrick is saying to her boyfriend, Tom...
Gee, the places in this travel folder are beautiful, Tom.
Mary, I'll go right down to the travel agency and arrange a trip for us.
And in Mel Blank's Fix-It Shop, Betty Colby says to her boyfriend, Mel Blank...
Gee, Mel, the places in this travel folder are beautiful.
Betty, I'll go right down to the travel agency and get you some more folders.
Mel, if we get married, we've got to go somewhere. Look at these places. Alluring Alaska, haunting Hawaii, mysterious Mexico.
Betty, haven't you got anything like cheap Cucamonga?
I can just see us now in Alaska. We could go tobogganing and dog sledding. Oh, it's so much fun to go dog sledding. You'd yell mush and I'd yell mush.
Yeah, but while we're mushing, who's going to watch a sled? Oh, nothing doing, Betty. I can't afford any long trips.
Well, here's a nice trip. It's only $200 and we can see the Hoover Dam.
Betty, I know how to save the $200.
How?
Let's stay home and look at my Hoover vacuum cleaner.
Oh, here's a wonderful place, Sun Valley. And the weather there is very unusual, you know. Sun and snow. Girl can put on a bathing suit and go skiing.
Well, gosh, that's nothing. What's really unusual is to see your girl put on a bathing suit and go swimming.
What are you talking about? You can hardly swim yourself.
Oh, is that so? You should see me swim and dive. In fact, I'm one of the best divers in the country. I do a half gainer, a jackknife, and a swan dive all rolled into one.
Oh, what's that called?
Belly flop. Look, Betty, let me handle one vacation problem. First, I've got to get that summer cottage for your father. Well, speaking of...
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Mel.
Hello, Mr. Colby. Say, Mr. Colby, I think I'll be able to line up a summer cottage for you.
Well, I've been thinking, Mel, what I really want is to get away from it all. I want to live in the open, cook my meals in an open field with no roof over my head. I want to live like a hermit.
Mr. Colby, you don't want to live like a hermit. You want to live like a veteran. Besides, you should be grateful for anything I can get you. If you think it's easy to rent something, just look at the ads in this paper.
Let me see. Hotel Pineview, concrete swimming pool for the private use of the guests. Rates $10 a day. For guests wishing to sleep in the hotel, $20 a day.
You see what I mean? And that's a good one. Listen to this. Dream house. The living room is a dream, the dining room is a dream, and the bedroom is a dream.
What's the price?
A nightmare.
Well, Mel, maybe I should be grateful to you for getting me this cottage. That is, if you can get it.
Oh, leave it to me, Mr. Colby. Now, let's get in my car and go down and talk to the old sea captain who owns a cottage. Gosh, Mr. Colby, listen to that motor purr. Sounds like a new 47.
Yeah, a new 47 concrete mixer. What kind of a car is this anyway? Why, it's 2 feet higher in the front than in the back.
Well, it's a racer, Mr. Colby. It likes to start from a crouching position.
Oh. Mel, why don't you get yourself a new car instead of this old jalopy?
Jalopy? Why, this car happens to be a town and country.
Town and country?
Yeah, this is the only town in the country that'll give it a license.
Yes, and it's typical of what you drive. In fact, I'm a little worried about this trip. I always feel nervous with an idiot behind the wheel.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Colby. You won't have to do any driving at all. Hey, look at that car coming towards us. It's fantastic. It has a California license plate.
Well, what's so fantastic about that?
He's driving on the right side of the road. He's driving on the right side of the road.
Who said that? Mel boy.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Colby. I'll get it started right away. Colby?
What is it this time?
I think I blew a gasket.
What happened, Mel?
Well, the car's in the garage, and they're fixing it now. I phoned the sea captain, and Mr. Colby and I are going to meet him at 5 o'clock. Now, be sure to be back here in time to mind the fix-it shop, Zuki.
Oh, okay, Mel. Say, here comes that bragging Bo Brummel Hartley Benson. I'm getting out of here.
Hello, Hartley. Was that the screeching of your brakes I heard just outside?
No, Mel, old boy. It was merely the squeal of hundreds of women looking at great, big, adorable me. All through life, I've been disappointed. I can't kiss myself because I'm not double-jointed.
Oh, Hartley, you're not such a big shot with the women.
Oh, no, Mel. In a recent survey, it was shown that men of distinction prefer to hold a highball glass in their hands, but women of distinction prefer to hold me.
Look, Hartley, you don't bother me at all today. I'm renting a summer cottage for Mr. Colby, and if I can get in good with him, everything will be milk and honey.
Mel, old boy, your milk has just curdled. I've just talked to the sea captain myself, and he has promised to rent the cottage to me.
What?
Yes. In fact, I'm signing the lease tonight.
Hartley, were you out at the seashore today?
Yes, Mel, and as usual, I was the center of attraction. Some of the girls wore one-piece satin bathing suits, other girls wore polka dot midriffs, but all eyes were upon me.
Well, what were you wearing?
My rhinestone evening trunks. I covered myself with suntan lotion, but got an awful sunburn anyway.
Well, that's odd.
No, it isn't, Mel. My body is so beautiful, the sun fought its way through. There was a beautiful lady lifeguard, and she rescued me 18 times. 18 times she grabbed me and pulled me to her.
Well, Hartley, can't you swim?
I wasn't even in the water. But I finally did go in. First, I dipped in my toe. A crab grabbed it.
Did he bite you?
No, just kissed.
Gosh, Hartley, you must think you've got the most beautiful body in the world.
Mel, you know how when some people pass away, they give their bodies to Harvard for medical research?
Yeah?
I'm giving mine to Vassar.
Oh, Hartley, you're not so hot with a woman.
Oh, no. Mel, once I was traveling through the country, it was a very warm day, so I jumped into a little stream for a swim. Do you know what that place is called today?
What?
Hot Springs, Arkansas. As a matter of fact, Mel, now that the magazines are coming out with their beach editions, they may put my picture in Look or run it in Life.
Well, if they put your picture in Look, it'll have to run for its life.
Oh, Mel, you make me... You make me see red, so I must leave before Congress investigates me. And as for the cottage, you and Mr. Colby can come down and see me sometime. And bring Santa Claus. Meanwhile, remember this. I'm as lovely as can be. I'm so sweet. Perfume smells me. So long, Mel. Nice seeing me.
Holy cat. Benson getting the summer cottage away from me right under my nose. When Mr. Colby finds out he has no place to spend the summer, he'll kill me. Well, if he does kill me, I'll have one thing over him. At least I'll know where I'll spend my summer.
Use Colgate toothpowder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
It cleans your teeth, makes breath so sweet.
Use Colgate toothpowder.
Teeth that sparkle, a breath that's sweet. Isn't that what everyone wants? Try Colgate tooth powder, the all-purpose tooth powder. Instantly, it makes rich, active foam that dances around your mouth. Makes your breath sweeter. Yes, indeed. In 7 cases out of 10, it's been proved that Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And, oh, what a wonderful cleansing result you get from Colgate tooth powder. It leaves your teeth with that pearly, smooth feeling, reveals their natural brilliance. So for teeth that sparkle and a breath that's sweet, try Colgate Tooth Powder, the all-purpose tooth powder.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Now let's listen to Victor Miller and his orchestra as they play Across the Alley from the Alamo. Very good impression on Mr. Colby by renting a summer cottage for him from an old sea captain, but Hartley Benson beat him to it and is signing a lease for the rental of the same cottage tonight. Now we find Mel in his fix-it shop, worrying as usual.
Hello, Mel Blank's fix-it shop. You bend it, we mend it. Yes? Oh, the garage. You fixed my car? Well, what was wrong with it? Out of gas, huh? Well, I'll be over to pick it up. Goodbye. A lot of good it does me to have the car now. What can I do to beat Hartley Benson out with the old sea captain? Oh, here comes my lodge president, Mr. Cushing. He always has some ideas. Maybe he can help me now. Greetings, Mighty Potentate.
Hello, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Mighty Potentate? How's your little geranium?
Mel, if you mean my wife, she's gone to pots. Last night she got up in the middle of the night and said,
John, I can't breathe. It's too hot. If it gets any hotter, I'll die.
Well, what'd you do?
Threw another log on the fire. First married that woman, she had a figure like an hourglass.
Now?
Her sand has shifted. What a face! Why, the other day we went to the beach. I covered her almost completely with sand. The only thing uncovered was her face.
What happened?
The cops arrested her for indecent exposure.
Oh, her face isn't that bad.
Oh, no? When she went into the water, the tide went out.
So what? The tide always goes out.
This one never came back. Well, finally she got out into the water and the fish saw her. Mel, that's the first time in history anybody ever heard a barracuda scream. But she went out too far. There was a fishing boat there, and they caught her in a salmon net.
Oh, that must have been terrible.
No. At the cannery, they rejected her.
Oh, come now. You're just making things up.
Can you blame me? What a woman. Last week, we were on a hunting trip. I'll never forget it. I'd loaded the rifle. I was aiming it when my wife said, oh, John, I want to use the rifle. Let me have it. Come on, John, let me have it. God, what a temptation.
know why I'm telling you all this. It's just that I've got no one to talk to.
I wish I could help you, Mighty Potentate, but I can't. As a matter of fact, I'm deep in my own troubles. I was supposed to rent a cottage from an old sea captain for Mr. Colby, but Hartley Benson is signing a lease for it tonight.
Mel, you just mentioned an old sea captain. You remember his name?
Yeah, it's Captain Zurb.
Captain Zurb? Why, he's an old friend of mine. Mel, I got a great idea for you.
What is it?
Now, Captain Zurb is a pushover for anything having to do with the sea. You go there, pretend that you're an old seafaring salt yourself, and I'll bet he rents that cottage to you.
That's a great idea, Mighty Potentate. What made you think of a thing like that so fast? What do you know about the sea?
Mel, remember my wife. For 20 years, I've been married to an old tugboat.
Well, Mel, I hope my idea helps you out. I gotta be going now. Where are you going, Mighty Potentate?
Well, Mel, I can do one or two things. I can go to the movies and see the web, or I can go home and look at the spider I married. Come on, Mel.
I can always depend on the Mighty Potentate to help me. Gosh, it's getting late. I'd better rush down to Mr. Colby and tell him the idea.
Oh, Mel, I knew you couldn't do a thing right. You had to foul it up some way. Imagine Hartley Benson getting the cottage instead of me.
But, Mr. Colby, if I tell Captain Zurb I'm an old sea captain, well, he'll surely rent it to me and you can move in.
You an old sea captain? Huh, what do you know about the sea?
Plenty. Listen to this.
Alas, you landlubbers! Fore the aft! Hang the barnacles in the barn! Ice my woodwork! Ice my woodwork!
Ice my woodwork? What's that?
That's a high-class way of saying shiver my timbers.
Oh.
Come on, Mr. Colby, we got no time to lose. Now remember, you go in first, then I'll come in later.
Sorry, matey, but my course is set. I told Benson that cottage is his'n. Blow me down, heaven will change my mind.
I'm sorry to hear that, Captain Zurb. If I'd rented the cottage, I was going to let an old sea captain live in it. You see, he has no place to stay.
No port to drop anchor in?
No.
Well, of course, that may change my mind. Where be this old sea dong?
Why, I told him to meet me here.
Well, there's a salty-looking lubber coming up the steps now. He's ringing my doorbell.
That must be the Admiral now. I'll open the door. Well, come in, Admiral Blank. Meet Captain Zurb.
Well, my compliments, Admiral Blank. Mr. Colby here tells me that you'll be an old sea dog. Is that right?
Sure is. Just listen to this.
Well, now,
go out again, Blank. Heist up the pennants and pipe him aboard.
And while you're at it, reef in the mainsails. Go to the forecastle and get me a popsicle.
Mr. Colby here tells me you got no place to stay.
That's right. I just got back from a trip across the Atlantic. Made it in 10 hours.
Now, wait a minute. How could you possibly sail across the Atlantic Ocean in 10 hours?
The lights were with me all the way. got kind of cold, too.
I suppose you wore your long underwear aboard ship, huh?
You bet. And I kept the hatches fastened, too. Gosh, gosh, my baggage. What a time we had, singing all the way. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of milk.
Milk? You mean rum?
No, milk. This was a cattle boat. reminds me of the time I first went to sea. The captain giving me orders all the time.
Was you his first mate?
No, his second mate. His first wife died. What a skipper.
Captain Zurb, now, about renting the cottage.
Mr. Colby, sir, it appears to me like everything's shipshape. Admiral Blank here, salty enough for me. When this Benson landlubber comes along, I'm going to get everything squared the way. You got the cottage.
Ah.
Captain, as we men of the sea always say, you're a salt after my own shaker.
Ah, Captain Zurb, I've come to sign the lease. Just think how fortunate your cottage will be to be lived in by a great big adorable me.
Benson, great big adorable you, going to have to find another anchorage. I just told Admiral Blank he can have the cottage.
Admiral Blank?
I think I'll be going now. So long, Mr. Blank.
Just a minute, Captain. This man is an imposter.
You mean he's never been to sea?
The only time Blank has ever been to sea is when he took the ferry boat to Hoboken.
Over a shiver my timbers, blow me down, man, the lifeboats, and heavens to Betsy Alfred Horton's. I knew it would turn out this way. I'm going to scuttle every bone in your body.
Father Mail, he'll get over it. Just think, here we are, the two of us alone in your car.
Yeah. Betty, you're so wonderful to me, always helping. The minute we got into the car, I had a flat tire, and what did you do?
I fixed it.
Yeah. Well, how do you like the way the old buggy runs now, Betty?
Oh, it's very smooth, Mel. It's just as if the wheels aren't even touching the ground.
Yeah. Holy cat!
What's the matter?
The wheels are touching the ground. I forgot to take the jack out from under the car. This is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening. Good night, Andy. That's all, folks.
This is Bud Heaston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday night at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Remember, Mel Blanc every Tuesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Mel Blanc Show, Renting a Summer Cottage, as originally broadcast June 3rd of 1947 on CBS Radio. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of the program. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed this hour of radio theater. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so by email. The address, qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to submit your questions, comments, suggestions, and even requests for future radio theater programs. And don't forget the website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. Once again, this has been program number 1920. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.